You've never heard this?
No.
She's got the biggest mullet you've ever seen. She's got the same haircut that Ozzy has on the Bark of the Moon era. What?
You like the song?
I like the chorus. It's got a good hook. Along the floor. Oh, man, I forgot what big beaver teeth she had in this video. So to speak. Sorry. Why, hello. Right here. It's a great chorus. Not a bad song. It's got a pretty good hook. What? Not the way I do.
Do you have some memory associated with the song?
I was a DJ. I had to play this. There's a lot of songs. Seriously, okay, you know who else has this mullet that she's got right here? It's Julian Lennon's mullet from the Velot era or whatever the hell that record was. Seriously, if you can picture what Ozzy's hair looked like and around the Shot in the Dark era, and then put her in put her in Julian Lennon's outfit from the same time, and then give her huge, like, buck teeth, that's what Melissa Etheridge looks like. Shaving her head is the best thing this woman ever did. Seriously. I mean, if you can't make your hair... I'm just becoming incredibly gay the longer I stand here. If you can't make your hair obey, just get rid of it. If you can't, that's the lesson Melissa Etheridge learned. If you can't make your hair look good, move on from having the hair. Anyway, not unlike Don Geronimo, though, because he'll go on about songs that he didn't really, that strictly speaking, he shouldn't like, that he sort of learned to like while being a DJ, and that's my thing, too. I had to play, I was at this station that had a pretty elastic definition for what rock and roll was. And so we would play, are you slowly fading me out?
Are we supposed to listen to the whole thing?
Oh. I guess not. It's done now.
That's a return bump. You eventually have to get rid of it.
It's fine. I have to turn it off. But we had a pretty elastic definition for what rock and roll was. So we would play, like, at night, like Metallica and Black Sabbath. And then during the day, we would play just the weirdest stuff, like Melissa Etheridge. And, God, what else? What else did we play during the day that didn't really count as rock? I mean, like Toad the Wet Sprocket and crap. It was just the weirdest radio station. But I remember hearing that because I find the hook to be compelling. Not maybe as good as I remembered. It's 5:03. That's okay. Sarah and I were both. And just the final, this is the last thing I'll say about this, because I can't get bogged down in this musical discussion, except to say two things. One, we share the studio here. This is the Rick Emerson radio program, by the way. We are here in the studio at First Avenue, in the same building as Movin' 107.5, which is a new and exciting station for suburban white women everywhere. And so they play a lot of, and this is not a knock, but they play a lot of things that can only really be described as one-hit wonders. A lot of sort of, you know, whatever, like Humpty Dance kind of stuff, and the Ice Ice Baby sorts of things and whatnot. But they were playing this song the other day that Sarah and I both remembered. Sarah remembers it for a reason quite differently than I do. Sarah remembers it because she was like 9 years old while listening to it. I was old enough that I was a DJ playing it, and that was One More Try by Timmy T.
Oh, I still have the tape. I found it at a garage sale this past summer.
And that would have been like 1991, so you would have been 11?
Yeah.
How creepy is this? You were 11. I was old enough that I was actually... It is
conceivable.
Wait, 1991. 91.
Yeah,
One More Try by Timmy T. You were 11. I was 18. And that's the beginning to 1,000 awkward Joni DeRoshi screenplays right there. You were 11 and I was 18. And it is conceivable, had we just lived closer to each other, I could have been a DJ playing that for you. How creepy is that, actually?
That's wrong.
I'm old enough and you're young enough that... Had you not lived in Bremerton and had I not lived in Kennewick, I actually could have been a DJ on the request line. And you could have been calling, "Come on, come on, come on, by Timmy T." Okay, what station plays Timmy T? You know, and then you and your friends would have cheered and then I would have played it. So see, it comes on the other day in front of Jeff McGinley, who's, you know, oh man. And then there's Sarah and I. Both together at the same moment, we just... Are you finding it? Are you digging up Timmy T?
I am.
Sarah and I, at exactly the same moment, we start singing along with this song. And it's like one of those 90s songs that's got that weird synthesizer...
Oh, my God.
Synthesizer line. And Sarah and I are immediately both belting out One More Try by... And it's just the worst song. I mean, it's a great song.
It's a fantastic song.
No, it's a great song, but it's terrible. I mean, you have to look back at it and realize just what a big piece of cheese that song really is. This right here. This is what it was.
I'm going to turn off my microphone because I cannot resist singing
this. It's embarrassing, and Sarah and I both started singing this.
Oh, this song is so great. Come on.
And McGinley just sort of looks over and he kind of, like you, he just sort of accepted it for him because you're a girl. And then he just sort of looked at me and just kind of cocked an eyebrow and then shook his head and just went back to work. Yeah, I had the single too. I had it on CD though.
I didn't mean to tell you lies.
Singing every word.
And after all that, we have been. He is an ugly little man.
And I don't even know what he looks like. I don't want to know. To tell you the truth, I don't want to know. But what a wooden delivery he's got, though. Is he black or white?
He's white.
Yeah.
Dark brown hair with a couple pieces hanging in his face.
You can tell that he's white because, listen, one more try. Let me put my arms around you. He's like Billy Joel someday at the Super Bowl. Just
without you.
And you know, the only reason this song ever got released, I can't believe we're spending time on this. The only reason this song ever got released is because it was piggybacked on the success of, because this is Timmy T, and it was piggybacked on the success of a song by Stevie B, that The Postman song. Because I Love You, The Postman song by Stevie B. And so somebody must have said, Stevie B, hey, well, what about this Timmy T guy? And they were clearly designed, one was designed to be a knockoff of the other.
Here he is frolicking with the girl in the video. Oh, I've never seen this. I always thought he was just some blonde, like California-looking guy.
We have to not watch this. We have to resist.
Jeff's
the window
rocking out
again.
In the hallway.
The window again. My final musical note is going to be this. Are you going to do the spoken word part? Oh, girl. I don't know that I can do a spoken word part.
Let me put my arms around you.
Is he fat?
He's kind of fat.
He sounds like he'd be a fat bastard.
Does his voice sound a little muffled?
This was a number one single, by the way.
It's a good song.
Here we go. Oh, come on. We got to get to the spoken word part so we can be done.
And then never hear it again.
Well, everybody's got these. Every DJ has a song like this that they know word for word, even though they wish they didn't. I know Tim does.
And now that we have found each other.
It's about time for this to be remade by somebody. One of you wacky punk bands should do this.
Oh,
one of you kooky Portland punk bands. One more try by Timmy T.
I love you.
Not a good looking
guy.
Almost done.
Killing my soul. All right, wait for the smooth B lover soul man voice here to kick in. One more try.
Do it right.
No, I don't know it.
Oh, girl.
You know I love you. I just want you to know. My love, I'll always treasure. So please, just don't let me go.
That's so bad. Right
to me.
They're sitting in a booth together, and he's actually saying that to her across the table.
Oh my God,
she looks like a female version of him.
Oh baby, we're both so chunky and greasy, we could never find love elsewhere. Won't you go home with me tonight?
She just has longer hair extensions.
You know what that reminds me of? Do you guys know the song "I Need Love" by LL Cool J?
I need love.
Yeah, it's the first rap ballad. It's the first rap love song. Are you finding it?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, don't look it up yet. No, I'll look it up later. The song I Need Love by LL Cool J.
I'm posting Timmy T on my blog.
I Need Love by LL Cool J. It's the first rap love song. And LL Cool J, because ladies love Cool James and so forth, and he did this song that is so shameless. It is so pandering, and it's like the most manipulative song that's ever been recorded. Because it's a whole lot of him, and the video is a whole lot of him looking at the camera, and like flashing, like, you know, so he's got like the big gold rope, and so you know that he's making the money and everything. But it's a whole lot of, baby, all this fame and fortune doesn't mean anything to me. And he has this whole spoken word part at the end where he just like totally breaks it down. And it was just a song designed to get him laid on the road, because it's a song where at the end he is addressing not one specific girl. He's not singing the song to a specific girl. He's singing the song to a specific girl who is still unrevealed to him, who is out there somewhere. And it's a whole lot of like, I'll be out there looking for you. You know, show yourself, girl. Show me who you are. I'll be looking for you tomorrow and every day until I find you. And it's just, you know, it was designed just to get girls to go back and hump him at the hotel. It's just so awkward. My final musical notes, and then we should do some news, are going to be, and we got Jim Rubin, and we got the top, then we got, and then, unbelievably, this actually does, it is, I should pretend that this was intentional, because then Scotty J is going to do his top five songs to get down and make love to. My final observation is going to be this. There are songs that, there's some rule that about every 8 years they got to be redone. You mentioned one of them earlier. Songs that have to be redone every 8 years. There's a rule. Black Velvet. There have been like 8 different versions of Black Velvet, and it's like a cicada. It does about every 7 years. Somebody's got to cover Black Velvet. Not a good song to begin with.
I could see Storm Large covering that.
Black Velvet.
Oh, she'd be so good.
If you please, it's a terrible song, though. Black Velvet is the worst song. Originally by Alanna Miles, who had an affair with Robert Plant. That's the only reason I know about her. And then Cher did it. And then, God, that country chick did it. Here's another song, though. Here's a song that never needs to be recorded by, and I hate this song every time. You'd think eventually they do a version of this next song that I would really like. Event like it's a numbers game. The law of averages would dictate eventually somebody would do a version of Walking in Memphis that I like. And no, the answer is no. They're all bad. There's that horrible Mark Cohn version. There's the Cher version. There is now a new version on KUPL, on country radio. Walking in Memphis is a terrible, terrible song. It's never been a good song. It's never going to be a good song. Quit recording it.
I just heard that one version.
Walking in Memphis. Jesus. This email says, Timmy T rocks. I have the cassette single. Side 2 as a remix with waves crashing in the background. My 80s existence is totally validated. I'm going to go home to drink some berry-flavored wine coolers and wear spandex. Word.
I'm calling out my friend Lisa. She just wrote, I secretly own the cassette single for Timmy T's One More Try. Seriously, in between Metallica, Battery, and Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction, I'd secretly listen to Timmy T and Stevie B.
Stevie B. In the words of this song, because I love you, my heart's an open door. That's totally why that Timmy T song was a hit. It was totally because of Stevie B, who also vanished. Let's see. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, trying with ever-vanishing degrees of efficacy to distance himself from all of our midwittery. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Nothing to apologize for. I'm enjoying myself immensely.
I'm just saying. Oh, I found the video for I Need Love. All right.
Oh, we must play it.
I'm not going to play it right now. I'll wait, though. It's so shameless. It's so manipulative. Okay.
Well, Portland is named one of the 10 best cities in America for independent film. This, according to Movie Maker Magazine.
Bam.
Yes, apparently there are plenty of incentives offered by the city and state. Plenty of extras. Go work for free.
Never be shown.
Mm-hmm. Portland has many elements that foster a supportive environment for filmmakers. It's also a city that looks awesome on films, says the Oregon Film and Video Office. The locations are accessible, beautiful, and always ready for the close-up.
Is this a real story, or is this a story that somebody in Portland has put out just to try to get more things filmed here?
No, it's a real story.
All right.
Yeah, it appeared in the magazine.
You know, we could do, you know, if we were a lesser, just to duck back for just one moment onto Timmy T and one more time.
No, please do.
If we were a lesser radio program, I would just milk this all day, and we would just have endless...
Please do it. I haven't heard any of these songs in so long. I want to hear a little Black Velvet and all that.
No, you don't. I want to hear a little Black Velvet. You're all about class.
Someone just sent me an angry text message and just saying, how dare you?
You're really sophisticated, Sarah. That's what I love about you. Sarah got to hear some Black Velvet.
I told you I was very upset when K-Light went off the air, and I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Yeah.
I have a secret thing for early 90s
stuff. We haven't done a high concept topic since our phone started working. Maybe after we talk to Jim Roop, we'll do a high concept... We'll do a high concept. What 80s song do you secretly love? Here's Tim Riley.
Astronauts in Love. Astronaut Lisa Nowick facing
this
a new, more serious
song.
Charge.
This is
for attempted first-degree murder.
This is the best.
As she allegedly came to Florida to confront a woman who was also having a relationship with fellow astronaut Bill O'Faline. Now, apparently, O'Faline went to school here in Oregon. Oregon State University, it says here.
This is the best story. I came in this morning, and Kristen Bowie, who is here running Stephanie Miller in the morning, said that people had been calling all morning saying Tim and Rick and Sarah have to talk about this astronaut story.
Yes.
Is it all morning people are calling, like, Rick, Rick has to talk about the astronaut. Everybody was calling, making sure that one of the three of us
we
knew about this
going
story.
To have the astronaut story.
All right, okay, fantastic.
Well, Nowick, who's a lady and an astronaut, drove 900 miles, donned a disguise, and was armed with a BB gun and pepper spray when she confronted a woman she believed was a competitor for the affections of Navy Commander William Olafaline, a unmarried fellow astronaut who went to school here in Oregon. Now, this astronaut piloted the space shuttle Discovery in December, and apparently he made it back. He and Nowak trained together but never flew a mission together. Nowak told police her relationship with this astronaut was more than a working relationship, but less than a romantic relationship. Inside Nowak's vehicle, which was parked in a nearby hotel, authorities found a pepper spray package, an unused BB gun cartridge, latex gloves, and emails between Colleen Shipman and this astronaut. NASA Office Chief Steve Lindsay says NASA is ready and willing to help Lisa Nowak through this whole thing.
We're here representing NASA, and our primary concern is Lisa's health and well-being. Make sure that she's safe, make sure we get her through this, and we get her back to a safe place with her family.
After she gets out of jail.
It's a private, it's a personal matter, it's a legal matter that she and her family have to deal with. And our primary concern is, again, her health and well-being and safety. And we're down here supporting her like we would any employee at NASA if they were getting into this situation. We're a close family, and we try to take care of our own.
So, they also found a letter that indicated how much Mrs. Nowak loved Mr. Olafaline. An open package with a buck knife, Shipman's home address, and handwritten directions to an address.
Now, do you have the creepiest line in the whole story over there?
Let's see here. I have several lines here. It says here, if you were just going to talk to someone, I don't know that you would need to... Okay, this is something totally different. No, I don't have the weird...
Here's what I've got. Let's see. Nowak, who was a mission specialist on Space Shuttle Discovery flight last summer... And did you see the before and after photos of her?
Yeah.
Like her as astronaut and her as crazy lady?
She's got the Margot Kidman...
She does. She looks like the meth after photo.
Mm-hmm.
They also found, wearing a trench coat, a wig, and had a knife, a BB pistol, latex gloves. You know, that's some killing and disposing of body material is what that is.
She's the cleaner.
Or the alleged cleaner.
That's creepy.
They also found... diapers, which Nowak said she used so she... wouldn't have to stop on the 1,000-mile drive.
Oh.
Think about how many times you have to whiz in an average day. Think about how long it takes to drive 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think of the texture of those diapers by the end of your trip, especially if you don't have air conditioning of any kind.
So Nowak raced from Houston to Orlando wearing diapers in the car so she wouldn't have to stop to go to the bathroom.
Imagine the last terrified moments of your life.
But being an astronaut, you're used to wearing such a thing to do your duty.
But you're not used to being the other woman and, just, you know, imagine you're just walking along, you're going to the 7-Eleven or whatever, and a woman wearing diapers and carrying pepper spray and a glove, it just attacks you. I mean,
so
that's got to be weird.
She's dressed in a wig and a trench coat. She waited for Shipman's plane to land and then boarded the same airport shuttle bus that Shipman took to get her car. Shipman told police she noticed someone following her, hurried inside the car, locked the doors. So Nowak raps on the window, tries to open the car door, and asks for a ride. Shipman refused, but rolled down the car window a few inches when Nowak started crying. Nowak then sprayed a chemical in the Shipman's car. Shipman drove to the parking lot booth, and police were called. An officer reported following Nowak and watched her throw away a bag containing a wig and BB gun. They also found a steel mallet, a 4-inch folding knife, rubber tubing, $600 in garbage bags inside a bag that Nowak was carrying when she was arrested.
That's a creepier story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, live from Los Angeles, let's welcome CNN radio correspondent to the stars,
Jim Roop!
Hello, sir!
Howdy.
What's up with you, brother man?
You know, I'm just hanging around, sitting in my own...
filth?
Waiting to get on.
Sitting in a diaper so that you can just do one radio live shot after another without hesitation?
Yeah, you know, it's all about the mileage.
Hey, we've got Tim just handed me. We have this Ryan O'Neill. Is it true that Ryan... So let me understand this. So now you mentioned this a little bit yesterday. Ryan O'Neill says his grown son is to blame for an incident that led to the actor's arrest over the weekend.
Yes.
And this is what you were saying, that the kid was swinging a fireplace poker at him and it, quote, grazed him 4 or 5 times with the poker. And then hit his own pregnant girlfriend in the head.
Yeah, in fact, they released her 911 call today.
We have it.
If I find something I can't see, help me, help me. Help me.
Okay, stand
by.
I'm a transfer to the fire department.
Why do they always send the fire department if some guy's beating you with a... I mean, I guess...
Oh, I didn't hear it. Did you play it?
No.
I
don't know if we're speeding it to the phone.
Help me, help me.
Okay, stand by. I'm a transfer to the fire department.
I mean, it doesn't matter because it's unintelligible, except for the M and the operator says, we're going to send the fire department.
Well, because there are paramedics involved.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
I always wonder why they send the fire department for everything like this.
Yeah, you never watch Emergency?
No, not for years.
Rescue 51.
Not for
54?
Not for many years, no.
Car 54.
And then you had mentioned that this is a whole thing where, what's his name? Didn't Griffin, what's his name, kill, what's his name, Coppola?
Well, he was involved in that drunken boating incident that killed him.
What's wrong with people in Hollywood? Just people in Hollywood are all crazy. There really is something in the water out there.
Yeah, and now Barbara Streisand can't make up her mind who to back. She's giving money to everybody.
Look at you with the smooth segue. Look at that, brother. You just transition flawlessly from one subject to another. No, it's true. But Barbara Streisand's one of those people that just, she irritates everybody for reasons that we can't really sum up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's a fine actress. She's a fine singer. Doesn't necessarily sing my style of music, but I mean, she's a gifted actress, and she certainly has, she supported many noble causes over the years, but just bugs the hell out of me. I don't know why. I don't know why, but she does. So she's basically supporting anybody who's not a Republican at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, she's giving money to Clinton, Barack Obama, and Rob Edwards. John Edwards, rather.
John Edwards, who clearly is making a strong impression on you at CNN.
Well, my brother-in-law's name is Bob Edwards, that's why.
I see. Can I vote for him instead?
You know what? I should send his name into Barbara. She's giving $2,300. She can only give him $2,300.
Is that the maximum now?
That's the maximum private contribution. But then if whoever becomes a candidate, she can give them another $2,300.
I was going to say, you know what? Part of America is being able to give money to whoever you want to give money to. If I want to give $10,000 to Jim Roop to run for president, I should be allowed to do that.
Yeah, my wife said, it's her money. Who gives a crap with
that? Seriously, and the government should just get off my back.
$2,300 isn't going to get them elected.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, really, if $2,300 is making a difference, you've got no shot anyway. You should pack up your board and go home. You know what I mean?
That's right, man.
A whole lot of nothing.
Your own duty.
That's the thing. What does Barbara Streisand do these days, do you know? I mean,
she orders James Brolin around.
That's right. I forgot she was married to him.
Get me a drink.
You know, the thing about Barbara Streisand, and I bet she drinks a lot, by the way, I bet she and Liza Minnelli just sit there and look at each other across the table, Raiders of the Lost Ark style sometimes, and just put down one shot glass of straight, like, just Everclear after another. The thing about Barbara Streisand is, Barbara Streisand is just such an object lesson in how we're all going to be ugly someday, because, boy, she was really just cute as hell when she was younger.
She was, she had the sex appeal about her.
She did. She was sexy. That's the thing. Not just cute, she was sexy. And you know what? May God strike me dead, and it sounds so bizarre to say, you know who was damn cute in her own way? Was Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
Liza Minnelli. There's a movie she did called The Sterile Cuckoo, which I saw when I was a kid. And I remember it was really a bizarre movie. There's some weird things that happened to me growing up now that I think about it. Just things that I don't think happened to other kids. And I think I was just interested in things that other children were not. I remember being about 8 years old. And watching, like, the Sunday evening movie or whatever in my room, because my parents just left me to my own devices. I was totally raised by the television. And watching this movie called A Sterile Cuckoo, which is about Liza Minnelli as, like, a sexually liberated, like, early 20s woman who, I believe, has to deal with issues of miscarriage and, like, impotence or something, and, like, a polyamorous relationship with her boyfriend. And I'm, like, 8 in front of the television watching this, and she's having to have some conversation with her boyfriend on the screen about how he's unable to achieve or sustain an erection. And I'm, like, 8 years old watching this, and it's all going into my head. That really explains a lot about me, actually, that I don't know why. I'm just thinking about that now. Like, I don't know why my parents were not monitoring what I viewed more carefully. Clearly some things that is deeply messed up.
There are only 3 channels. I figure, what the hell could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, seriously. I just don't understand. In any event, hey, remind me to send you at some point in the email this fantastic thing that I've got. I don't know if you've heard this. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger's total fitness workout record from the 1980s. And it's him working out over the top of, like, Blue Oyster Cult and Tommy Two Tone records.
Wow.
And it's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. And I swear to God, it's absolutely true. It's Raining Men. Are we feeding this to the phone, Sarah? All right, let me see if I can find this, Jim. Hold on, let me see if I can play this. This is, I swear to God, this is real. This is off Arnold Schwarzenegger's Total Fitness. Hold on a second.
All right.
Let's see if I can play this with Windows Media Player here. Windows Media Player. Let's see. Open with Windows Media Player. Okay, here we go. Let's see if I can... Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. I got to...
This exercise is for the barbell curl.
Can you hear that?
It is for the biceps. Your biceps may not be as big as mine, but you will be surprised at how...
Check out the part where he talks about, to the reigning men, how firm and hard it will make you.
May not be as big as mine, but you will be surprised at how quickly they become firm and hard if you do this exercise correctly. The key is always to keep your elbows stationary and only use your forearms to do the motion. Choose a shorter wide grip on the barbell. Remember to breathe in as you lower the weight and to breathe out when the bar reaches all the way to the chin. We will do 12 repetitions. Okay? Ready. Start on the down position at your side. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And keep the elbows at the waist. Up, down.
It's fantastic.
I think it's great how he talked up to the post.
Oh, it's true. It's true. he does that. He does Journey, Don't Stop Believing. He does Blue Oyster Cult. He does Two Tickets to Paradise by Eddie Money. Just the weirdest collection of songs. And Tim pointed out that it's totally just like whatever they could get the ASCAP rights to. Whatever it is that they can get licensed to use. So I'll send that to you because that's genius. Great. It's genius. So you ought to... Here's the thing is that if he runs for something again or if you're at a press conference where it's very serious, you can just shout out a question about, Governor Schwarzenegger, can you tell me about making my biceps firm and hard with Weather Girls? Jim Roop from CNN. You know, just shout that out. Never say Rick Emerson never gave you any ideas.
Oh, God.
All right.
Great.
All right. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day, my friend. We will speak to you soon.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Up, down, firm and hard. Here's Tim Riley.
We haven't taken the 20.
Sure we have.
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't.
You're mystified. What's happening next?
Oh, hello, we're breaking. We'll come back with more of Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. I thought we were, just killing time until the 50s. Glad you corrected me. What is that? Bump my gums for the next 25 minutes. Yeah, I got this LL Cool J thing to play, though.
All right, now.
We'll talk to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Scotty J will count down and hear his top five songs to which he gets down and makes love. And then we'll talk about
his favorite embarrassing songs from the 80s.
Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's like Punish Rick Day. First death cap for Cutie.
I'm throwing some variety in the mix.
First you lie to me about the band. Then you pick me up in a police car.
More variety.
That's really not true.
Greatest hits of the 80s and more.
Greatest hits. No, Mississippi in the middle.
Oh, she kind of looks like Christopher McCownie.
She does.
See? Doesn't she?
And you know, the thing is, by all rights, how do we get off onto this subject? Why are we talking about this song?
Why do we talk about anything, really?
That's a good question, Tim Riley.
I have no idea.
I don't know the answer. All part of our... part of hunting for a ten share. The thing about this song is, by all rights, stupid song.
It's an even worse video.
I remember it's all sepia toned.
It's her rocking out in a leather jacket with a bunch of guys with long hair. Very interesting looking, though. She's like light.
So are you, Sarah. You're really interesting looking.
Thanks, Rick. She's like really super pale blue eyes and like dark black hair.
Yeah, well, good enough for rubber plant. I remember her follow-up single to this, Love Is. The thing about this song is I should like it. You know what I mean?
You totally should. I don't know why you don't.
It's got all the component parts. It's got the sort of generic blues line, that da-da-da-da-da. It's got a raspy voice. She's hot. You know?
She's wearing apple chaps.
She's sort of countrified. It's kind of a southern fried kind of song. Kind of sounds like Sass Jordan. I should like this, but I just don't, and I never did. I never liked it. Here's the thing about this song that I don't understand. Now that we're shunning aside any notion that this show is about anything else today. What the hell is she singing about?
I don't know.
Black Velvet, the drink? If she's singing about Elvis, I don't understand what Black Velvet is a reference to.
I always thought of it as like a cologne they sell at Walgreens.
Black Velvet, like something Scotty would wear. Like Playa.
Like Sex Panther.
A whale's vagina. I don't understand what this song is about. Wait, you know, all the... Here's the thing. Here's the thing is, I don't know what it's about. But, you know, I know who does.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. You know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty J to the studio, please.
Oh, Scotty would totally know.
I know he's got a free delay feedback there. I know he can hear us. All right, here it comes. What new religion?
A new religion will bring... I don't know.
You know, every time I think of Black Velvet, I think of this girl I dated who drank a pint of Black Velvet and a fistful of cold capsules.
Did she die?
No, we had to have her stomach pump.
Sexy.
Yeah, there's nothing sexier than a stomach pumping. It wasn't so much to her knees as it was, like, to the floor. And then to the back of an ambulance.
Your face.
Seriously, bring you to your face. Tell me what you took, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Think of that the next time you're trying to make love. All right. Scotty J, hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Scotty, what is this song about?
That's exactly what I was going to say, and then you said it. Bring you to your knees, you know, Black Velvet, and then praying to the porcelain god.
It's not about booze, though.
Well, if you please.
It isn't Scotty J's word.
No, but seriously, do you have any take? What is this song about? And why do we care 30 years after the fact? But, do you have any... I mean, you've had to play...
First of all, I hate this song.
Yeah, everybody hates this song except for Sarah. Do you get a lot of requests for it at weddings?
No.
Do you get requests for
the
song anywhere?
Even the drunken 20-somethings and 30-somethings will request this.
To be honest with you, when I get requests and I don't want to play them, I'll say, oh my God, I had that song too and I really love it, and then I won't
play.
Then
they get abusive.
You liar.
Yeah, then they get drunk and... Scott Payton, you!
And you're a real DJ or you're practicing.
Chicken dance! It's a terrible song. You have no guesses as to what it's about.
No, because I, little girl smile and this and that. I don't understand what all
that
Black
is. Yeah, Black Velvet with a little girl smile. What does that even mean? I mean, not like, I know that some songs are just poetry. Like, I know the song, some, as dumb as that sounds, I know that some songs are just collections of words. Like, a lot of Oasis songs don't mean anything. It's just words that, you know, no Gallagher's needed to fill the meter. You know, moon, June, spoon, cops, crops, you know, and then you're done. But that sounds like it's actually about something, and I just don't know what.
The only comment I thought was that it is about Elvis. I have no idea how.
Makes no sense. A new religion, bring you to your knees.
Well, that I understand, but what is the little girl smile? Did Elvis have a little girl smile? At home in a jar?
Lisa Marie was little, maybe, during the time that this was... No. When was the song written?
None of this is helping, is it?
No, it's...
The question is...
Worst segment ever.
Is what we're doing good for the company?
No.
No. Hello. Rick, oh, thank you. Thanks. It's apparently gripping to those on hold. Hello, Rick.
Hello.
Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I know what Black Velvet means.
Okay.
It's those stupid paintings you... It's those paintings you see on the side of the road. They paint on Black Velvet.
They paint what? Photos of paintings of Elvis?
Well, Elvis and the little boy in the style, the fence and...
Oh, like the crying clown and everything?
What
all that
fence?
Crap.
So...
A style is a fence. Sorry.
What? I don't understand what we're talking about.
So what's the new religion?
What fence are you...
I don't know about the new religion part, but I do know that the Black Velvet part is those... Those Black Velvet paintings that you see that are bad.
How do you know this?
How do I know that?
Yeah.
Because I've seen some of these pictures that they describe in the song.
So you don't really know this. This is a guess.
I am a musician who is guessing. Yes. Okay.
Maybe we should identify this as a different station than what you think you're listening to.
Okay.
All right. All right.
I'll go back to KGON. I'm sorry.
Oh. There's no need to be. No, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to surmise. I'm just curious as to whether you heard someone say this about the song or
this
you
is,
were just.
This is what I. This is my assumption of the stupid song that I hated playing, you know, that I had to play. And
did you have to play this in a band?
Yes.
Yeah, at a bar. Were you in a bar band, or are you in a bar band?
I was in a bar band at the time. I was out at the place in St. John's, Wishing Well in St. John's.
Oh. That is a hotbed of civilization. Yeah, bar bands. There's a lot of songs that bar bands have to know, like old time rock and roll, and this Black Velvet. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sorry for your pain, sir. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, and okay. Hello. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. This is Greg.
Hey.
Hey, man. I think I'm with you on the Black Velvet thing being the liquor. And up to
liquor.
But that aside, I wanted to tell you, when I was in ninth grade,
yes.
I dated this girl who was really, really, really skinny, and everybody was always teasing her for being so skinny, and then she ended up being the Black Velvet chick for like 10 years on all the bulletin boards all over the world.
Like for actual, the Black Velvet liquor?
Yeah, she was the Black Velvet chick, and then she ended up meeting this guy in Chicago named Mark Hauser, who's just an amazing photographer.
Uh-huh.
She's been married to him for like 15 years, and he started... as an intern with Playboy when he was 13. He was working with this guy who was shooting for Playboy.
So the lesson is, be nice to ugly chicks because they might end up being hot.
Or at least skinny chicks.
Be nice to skinny chicks. As for the fat girls, F them.
But here's
the deal. To hell with them. Yes.
But Rick, here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
Here's the deal. I was thinking about Barbara Streisand earlier. You know,
gone.
And I think Barbara is dying to do a cover of Black Velvet. But that aside, I was thinking about an episode on The Simpsons I saw just recently again,
where
Homer went over to Flanders and he was talking to him and he said, hey, how come if God is like all powerful, how come he wants us to worship him? Do you think he just has really poor self-esteem? And Flanders thought for a minute and he goes, I don't know, maybe he's kind of like Barbara Streisand, you know, all powerful but kind of insecure. And then Homer thought for a second and looked into the camera and said, James Berlin, hallowed be thy name.
All right then.
That's hilarious.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, are you? You're not a. You are you a believer in intelligent design by any chance?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, there's creationism, and then there's evolution, and then there's intelligent design.
I don't know if I believe in intelligent design. I believe in creation.
All right. I'm trying to find somebody, because there's this thing that some of the religious folks are trying to pawn off as an alternative.
Oh, yeah, a lot of homeschoolers are into that.
Yeah, intelligent design, which it posits that life is so complex that it had to have had a master designer sort of behind the scenes, an architect. Uh-huh. I'm trying to find an intelligent design person to explain to me why if God created us all, he can't make our wisdom teeth work correctly.
Oh, yeah, I heard you talking about
that. No, I'm serious. I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking to Laura about this. It sounds like shtick, but it's not. I was actually thinking about this. What is the deal with that? If you believe that God created us, did he just, like, he's all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful? Can't handle teeth. Like, can't, you know, teeth, yeah. He's no good at teeth. It just doesn't make any sense. So, all right, thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks,
there you go. No, I was really thinking about that the other day. It doesn't make any sense. Like, if God can do anything, why can't he make, like, why are wisdom teeth wrong? Because we heard people with wisdom teeth coming in sideways. Wisdom, like, there's no room for them. The average human mouth has no room for wisdom teeth. Why would God build you with defective teeth? It just doesn't make any sense. Ted, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hi, what's up?
Hey, I think that song's about Elvis. Five mentions on it on the internet. So looks like a guy was in Tennessee and wrote it about Elvis.
So it is about Elvis?
That's what he says.
According to who?
The guy named Christopher Ward, David Tyson, are the guys who wrote it. And the guy Ward wrote about it and said the crucial line of the song is that new religion song. So
right.
About the Elvis's fans.
All right. So,
and if you lose your teeth, you know you got plenty of teeth when the wisdom teeth come in, right?
Yes, it's true. Scotty has handed me a line-by-line analysis of the song he found on one of the internets.
There you go.
And it also claims that the song's about Elvis. I'm just wondering about the... the blah, 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 Black Velvet and that little boy's smile, and the line, who would sit and analyze this song line by, well, I guess us is the answer, right? Apparently, the analysis of this line, Black Velvet and the little boy's smile, is you can buy a Black Velvet Elvis painting at any respectable yard sale, and early female fans were drawn to Elvis's smile, which they believe was like that of a little boy. Is it not little girl's smile? It's little boy's smile, I guess. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He does have a certain childlike appeal to him, I guess, in a weird sort of way. All right, excellent. Thank you, Ted.
Sure.
There you go. That's Ted. All right. Okay. I can't. This is the last Black Velvet call. They were never talking about that song again. Ever, ever, ever. Benjamin, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, thanks for having me on.
What's up?
Well, the thing you found from the internet there kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. I was going to say, yeah, you can get a Black Velvet Elvis painting, which is a kind of a popular thing, and the little boy smile part of New Religion, I think, refers to, he used to be a gospel singer when he was young. That's how he broke into music.
All right, okay, fair enough. All right, so you also, so we can now put a pin in this, and we can say that Black Velvet by Alanna Miles, while truly a terrible song, is about Elvis.
Yes, please, let's never talk about it again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go, that's Benjamin. All right. I also want to note, by the way, that during the break, Sarah was singing All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You by Heart, which is one of the worst songs ever, really, ever, ever, ever. We could do top five terrible songs by a great band. Do you have that? Why would you just have that sitting around? This is the worst. And before you even play it, the worst thing about that is I can sing every line of it. I can hear the whole song in my head.
Then how can you hate it?
Because I had to play it as a DJ. I'm not saying I know it because I like it. I know it because I was a DJ. Is this Dennis Pitzenbarger? He's calling early. So little to do, so much time. The opposite. Ah, here it is. We made magic that night.
Oh,
yeah. He did everything right.
Yeah.
So this is a song about being a slut and having a bastard kid.
Yeah.
Sexy. My husband is impotent. Will you hump me? That's what this song is all about. My husband's penis doesn't work. Will you have sex with me? I'm easy. Listen to how she says coat like a Canadian. Yes, stretch to make it rhyme.
How lonely is she that she's picking up random hitchhikers to go pump in a hotel?
Seriously. You got to the side of the road. You want to have some unprotected sex in a hotel? Woo! Hot.
Oh, I think
this was Fat Ann, too. This era. This wasn't Thin Ann. This was Big Ann.
That fast.
Really? Are you sure they're not stretching the lens? Look, no disrespect. She's a great singer, and I think she's beautiful regardless of how much she weighs. But Ann Wilson's weight fluctuated throughout the 90s.
Well, they're just showing her face.
This is, well, case closed. We have a winner. This is a terrible song. From the same band that gave us Crazy on You and Magic Man, but this piece of crap. The worst part is when she has to drag it up. We made love.
Magic. I hate that magic that night.
So now we have to wait for it.
All right, she's brought him to a hotel.
Hey, Scotty, can you talk to Dennis and ask him? Can you ask Dennis if he can call us back on the other side of the break? I know he's in Maui, but he has to adjust our schedule. What does that mean? He brought the woman out of me. Wait,
you
so
know
many
what
times.
It means.
So many times.
You know what it means. Think about it.
This is the worst part. This, I am the flower, you are the tree, or whatever. Wait for it. Terrible sex analogy in 3, 2, 1. We planted a tree.
But how does she already know she's not, though?
Women know these things, Sarah.
Okay.
I have to hear the worst line in this, which is, all night long, we made love.
Love like strangers.
Love like strangers. What does that even mean? Never mind. Fumblingly.
I love the please
wait,
understand.
Here we go. We made love. Like, just in case you were unclear about what they did, like, she sings it.
Did you really love him one day?
We had a light lunch.
She's carrying a baby. You can imagine his
surprise. So her husband can't give it to her. Is the husband impotent or just sterile? Because the husband can't give it to her.
I don't know.
Listen.
This guy in this video, very good looking.
What he couldn't give me was the one little thing that you can. I think the husband came home from the war crippled. That's my guess. The husband came home crippled from the war.
The war? Okay.
From Grenada. We just played this whole song. I wish I was dead. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, who will rescue us from this cesspit.
It looks like she's wearing a poodle on her head.
I think that's her actual hair.
Oh.
Looks like she's smuggling a lot of poodles in her coat, too. Good times. You want me? Back after this. This, unbelievably, is the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.